93.3 FM, 106.7 WJFK. No restrictions, no barriers, no bulls. Just free, free, free. Washington's free FM. Free, 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 free. 106.7 WJFK.
The finger snapping and Penn Jillette are live here in Las Vegas. Sitting out here with Michael Goudeau at the Slammer, our studio here. And we're here for another Penn Jillette show on the Free FM is where we are. 866-313-FREE-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com, PennRadio.com. I'm giving those phone numbers out right away because I think people will call in on this because this is an odd day. This is you might want to mark this in your calendars as May 12th, the day that Penn Jillette took a point of view that was not the nut point of view. Today's show, I'll be taking the point of view of a sane human being. I will not be taking the wingnut whack job point of view I usually take. And we're going to be talking about a full-page ad in the New York Times. And I'm not talking about, like, in the business section or way back there. Front page, a full-page ad in the front section of the New York Times. A11, the page. Full-page ad is a picture of three dogs. Actually, it's four dogs. Four dogs in rubble.
Oh, that is not the important detail, really.
No, it's not. And the headline of the ad, this is an advertisement. This is not the New York Times saying this stuff. No pet left behind, okay? And I'm going to read you all the copy of this ad. Animal welfare organizations such as the Humane Society of the United States helped rescue thousands of animals after Hurricane Katrina struck the Gulf Coast. Private groups stepped in because government agencies had no rescue or transportation plans to help animals. Many people remained in a dangerous setting because they simply wouldn't leave their best friends. And best friend here means pet. The pet evacuation and transportation standards, which spells pets, too bad they couldn't make it spell Patriot Act, Act S, by Senator Ted Stevens, nut, and Frank Lautenberg, nut, and Representatives Tom Lantos and Chris Shays, all nuts, Senators, Representatives, nuts, would require that local and state governments develop disaster plans for animals. Pets are part of the family, and no pet should be left behind. Call the congressional switchboard. Oh, yeah, fill the congressional switchboard with numbers about ask your federal lawmakers to support the Pets Act and the Patriot Act and every other whack job thing. Or take action by visiting our website below. And then there is a web address that I'm not going to give you because some of you people may be crazy enough that you'd actually go there and help them. Then there's a picture of a young girl with her cat. And it says Hurricane Katrina evacuee Tristan Carter is reunited with her cat Cupcake. And they want to take, we didn't even save all the people in Hurricane Katrina. Suffering fuckatash. I'm so upset. I just stuck my hand in raspberry jam. I'm spitting all over you. If you want to call in about this, 866-313-FREE-3733. I'm not saying necessarily drown all the pets instantly in a natural disaster. I'm just saying get all the people out first. And, you know, I started talking about this during the, I was starting to, you know, jack myself up. And Patrick, welcome back, Patrick. We love you dearly. Sitting on the board, this, okay.
Come
Free down. FM, we're on terrestrial radio. I cannot use obscenity. This guy, Patrick, this idiot, this nitwit, this lame brain, this knucklehead, said that if he were in a natural disaster, and as God is my witness, let's hope he is, he would get his wife and child safe. Good thinking, Patrick. We're with you there. Get your wife and child safe. And then he would stay with his dog to the death. I just can't. Okay. 866-313-FREE-3733. Maybe we'll have people calling in and just say we should drown Patrick right now, save the rest of us. While we're waiting for the two calls that'll come in, maximum on this, because everybody undoubtedly agrees with me, I just want to tell you that Kinky, our good friend Kinky Friedman, Friedman is just another word for nothing left to lose. Musician, this is from Reuters. Musician and mystery writer Kinky Friedman brandishing his trademark cigar and spouting one-liners turned in petitions with nearly 170,000 signatures on Thursday and his bid to run for governor of the great state of Texas as an independent candidate.
Kinky.
The first independent candidate to, since Sam Houston to win. And Kinky's been on the show. I love Kinky. When he comes out and visits, we always hang out. And here's a quote from him. Thank God for bars and dance halls, he said. Every signature counts, whether it came from a country club or a homeless shelter. Yeah, Friedman's just another word for nothing left to lose. Kinky Friedman, you know, he's got all the Jesse Ventura people behind him.
Yeah.
He could win. As Friedman left Thursday's event, he waved to his supporters and said, "May the God of your choice bless you and onward through the fog." That's what he said. Onward through the fog.
And that was a pretty good Kinky impersonation there.
Wasn't it pretty good?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Do we have phone calls about this?
We do.
They're just phone calls that are going to say, "Penn, you're finally right about something." I'm looking forward to this phone call.
We should hold off on this. We should maybe do a pool or some sort.
Well, this one, I think I'm totally in the right on this one. I'm totally. This is not the nut point of view. What's the phone caller?
Let's go with line one. This is Steve.
Hey, Steve. This is Penn. What's up?
Hey, what's up? It's Steve.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. I just wanted to say that I felt that this whole idea was completely ridiculous. The fact that you have dogs and animals being saved before human beings when there's a natural disaster, it's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, in fairness, I don't think they said before, they said while. But as soon as you give some sort of, as soon as you're worried about dogs and cats and what else, birds, because the canaries might fly too long in the flood and drown, you are taking some, there's only a limited amount of help available, and you are taking some away. So you're right. It seems insane, doesn't it, Steve?
Yeah. Wait, what was that? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear very well. My cell phone's kind of crappy.
Yeah, okay, well, you know. Well, all I was saying was, you're with me on this one. I don't have the nut point of view, right?
Yeah. No, I think it's absolutely ridiculous, and I think having taxpayers spend money on making that an act is absolutely ridiculous, and that should be something that people should be complaining about, not animals drowning.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. See there? Thank you so much for calling, Steve.
And it's going to be a law against making laws about animals.
Well, you know, I'm for laws against making laws. If they just made simply one simple law that every law expired after 1 year, then they would keep busy doing the important laws. It would be constantly prioritizing. Oh, Jesus Christ! We forgot all about it, and now murder is legal in Minnesota! Damn! Then they would be focused on the stuff that's important. You wouldn't have these. And keep in mind that these, I don't know if anybody's from, no one's from Arkansas, but Ted Stevens of Arkansas, Frank Lautenberg of, what is N?
N?
Yeah.
It's a letter.
I know. Thank you.
Today's show is sponsored by letter N, by the way.
It says, look at this. Frank Lautenberg, Democrat from N.
Uh-huh. It's from Nebraska.
Nebraska? New Jersey is N?
How'd they get a one letter?
Is it an NJ?
It's like sham, one letter. Man, that's cool.
New Jersey got one letter. You should look up. Look up. Look up. Look up Lautenberg. Lautenberg. Frank Lautenberg, and find out where that Democrat is from. And at the same time, you're doing that, Goudeau. Watch this. This will be great. He's a juggler. Give us another call.
We're gonna talk to Chris online too, and he is gonna kick your butt. David.
Okay. Okay, Chris. How you doing, Chris?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing? Now, listen, I don't quite understand your outrage on this. Maybe it shouldn't be an act, but as a big animal lover, I mean, my dog, you know, I like my dog better than a lot of human beings, you know what I mean? And if a natural disaster was to hit, you know, New Jersey, hopefully it will soon. you know, I would be very concerned about the welfare of my dog. Fortunately, she's only 10 pounds. She's easy to transport. You know what I mean? I just don't get why you think it's so insane.
Okay, well, let me just get a few things straight here, okay? First of all, you say you would be concerned with the safety of your dog. I have no problem with that. I would be concerned with the safety of the hard drive of my computer. I would be very concerned with that. I would care about that very much. I would get my wife, my children safe. Then I would worry about my hard disk and maybe my upright bass. That is all fine. For you to have an individual obsession is great. But if you're going to tell me that the government and my money should go towards saving your little yappy, horrible, miserable, ankle-biting piece of furry trash, then we disagree.
She does not have an ankle biter.
Okay, 10 pounds? How big is a 10-pound dog? What's the name of this dog?
8 pounds it's out not... of meat. I should just point out.
Right.
In an emergency.
Yeah, that's 8 pounds of meat in an emergency. But what kind of dog is it?
What's that? What kind of dog?
Yeah. It's not little and yappy and an ankle biter at 10 pounds?
Listen. I hate little yappy dogs. My dog, she's little, but she does not bark. She does not growl. She does not yip. She's very laid back.
Is your dog dead? Is this a dead dog?
Dead? No. It's a good dog. What can I say?
Now, here's the hard part of the question, Chris. What is your dog's name?
Is my dog what?
What's your dog's name?
Oh, Gracie.
Gracie.
Yeah.
Why is it named Gracie?
Why the name Gracie?
Yeah.
My mother, that was her name for the dog.
Okay, boy, you got bulletproof there in a big hurry.
Man.
You ran behind a lead shield there. I was so ready for your dog to be named Cupcake or Smoochie or something like that. And then you named the dog after your mom. Listen, what I wanted to do was yell at you, and now I can't yell at you. Yes, you can have concern for your dog, although I'll tell you, if you try to save your dog and die doing it, then I believe things have gone just the way they should. Okay, thanks a lot, Chris. Thanks so much. You said he was gonna kick my ass, didn't you?
He did.
We got along. He didn't kick my ass.
Grace? His dog's name was Grace?
Gracie.
Gracie's the nickname. The dog's name is Grace.
So you're saying it's a religious thing.
I think
it is,
yeah.
He named the dog after his mom.
Well, he said his mom named the dog. I think you listened to that a little wrong, but
is that right?
Yeah. His mom named the dog.
Probably named it Gracie Allen, you think?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We have to, from now on, we're going to have callback numbers. When we have problems like this, we can call them back. So I can call them back at like 3 in the morning and go, you know, I was lying in bed. I couldn't sleep. Is your dog named after your mother or by your mother? This is Penn. Goodbye. Then I'll hang up and go, uh-oh, I got a call back. I didn't hear his answer. A lot of times I scream a question and don't listen to the answer. That was a good example of that. Okay, what other crazy pet people do we have? Let's take another call.
How crazy do you want to go? We can go fairly crazy. Let's go to line 10. This is Lenny.
Hey, Lenny.
Hey, Penn. How's it going?
Never better, boss. How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Listen, before I get to my point, I want to say that I am a dog walker for a living, and I'm an animal lover, and I really sorely miss my pets where they to be swept away in a flood or another natural disaster.
Of course.
And your job. You miss your job.
I also want to say that I agree with you 100%, and if my grandmother was swept away by the tides because somebody was off saving a French poodle, I would be incredibly upset and want my congressman lynched for passing this legislation. So really don't understand how the majority would enact this legislation.
I certainly hope the majority will not. But you know, Godot, this is kind of nice when you're not the nut, when you're kind of like the person speaking insanity. It kind of feels
rare.
Thanks, Lenny. It's very rare for me. This is an entirely new experience. I think I've learned something about myself.
It's such a calm morning, isn't it?
It's a calm, beautiful morning. Thanks, Lenny. Thanks, fellow citizen. Speaking on behalf of the majority, this is Penn Jillette. Speaking on behalf of the majority with my friends Lenny and Chris and Steve, we all agree. Everybody agrees.
All right, come on. Let's see if we can't mess with you. Let's talk to Jake on line 2.
You're on the other side. You're on the other side.
No, I'm just messing with you.
How you doing, Jake?
All right.
Kick it, Jake. What are you going to say?
My dog saved my life, you know, and I definitely feel I owe it the same respect. I don't think your hard drive could save your life, you know.
My hard drive has saved my life many times, but that's right, sure. You look for a phone number of a cute woman in Cleveland at 4 in the morning and tell me that my hard drive did not save my life. But going on to this, how did your dog save your life?
I was getting carjacked at gunpoint, and my dog came and kind of got the guy away from me.
Tell the story. Tell the full story.
I was in my car, and I was leaving from the dog park, and I was getting carjacked. My dog came over through the window and just kind of started attacking the guy and fended me.
Wow. Yeah. And how big is your dog?
80 pounds.
80 pounds? What kind of dog is it? Like a pit bull or something?
No, he's a boxer. I named him Diesel because he was expensive and he's full of gas.
Hey, you laughed at a dog.
I laughed at a dog. Now, was it, which end did he attack the carjacker with? Did he back up toward him?
Yeah, he comes in handy whenever I run out, you know, if I get stuck on the side of the road.
All right, but did he actually bite the attacker?
Yeah, he went right after him.
Huh? Did he get a piece of him?
Oh yeah. The guy went right down to the ground, and you know, I got away, and my dog came running after me, and
ran away when the dog was attacking the guy with the gun.
Yeah.
And yet you still want to enact legislation to save the dog, so other people should go back after you've run off.
No, I just think they should save my dog. That's it.
Okay, that makes sense.
So you want legislation just to protect Diesel, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think Diesel should have the right to vote, at least.
Now, but isn't attacking, I mean, I guess the scenario played out well for you, but isn't attacking a guy with a gun kind of dangerous? I mean, what stopped him from shooting the dog and then shooting you?
I have no idea. I got lucky right there, I guess.
Yeah,
I was more thinking about my safety before my dog, and my dog just reacted. I was scared. I guess I was a little bitch in that situation.
I guess so, yeah. I guess so. You know, there's certain places you can move to, Chicago and Nevada, where Diesel can vote, you know. As a matter of fact, I think Diesel probably signed Kinky's petition in Texas. Well, thanks a lot for that point of view. Thank you, boss.
He wouldn't have been at the dog park if he didn't have a dog. Wouldn't have been held up in first place.
He would have been home. He should have been.
He'd have been home.
I should have asked what kind of car he had. I mean, do carjackers care what kind of car? See, I think that you had to have a guy who probably was not planning on using the gun. But you know that counting on planning on someone not using a gun and has a gun, I think is one of the worst strategies you could possibly have. You don't dare shoot me. So, I've backed down a little bit from my same position. I think that no animal should be saved except Diesel. Diesel did save his life, but as long as, what was his name, Lenny? As long as Lenny is willing to lay down his life for Diesel, I'm okay for that. Patrick, you're still the nut on this one, you know. No one has said save the dogs along with the people. No one has, not one caller has said that. I am in the straight shooter, normal, majority position. Yeah, Patrick's thinking something crazy.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. On any subject. This is the first time I've had a point of view that people agree with. And this is, I'm feeling all kind of tingly and warm. It's kind of a nice feeling to be one. This is like, it's like all of a sudden I'm in gym class and the guys are going, good play, Ben. Nicely done, Ben. Instead of like beating me up and saying, get out of here, you big hulking figure. We're now on the way to me being Rush Limbaugh, you know? All I need is some hillbilly heroin, and I will speak for the majority of people in this country.
You know, you've always spoken correctly on donuts.
Yes.
People have often agreed with you on donuts.
Donuts and not saving pets.
There you go.
Yep. Those are two things that I know about and I agree with the majority on. There's other stuff to talk about. Maybe we'll go more with the pet stuff, but maybe we're going to go to talking more about people and stuff you could disagree with me on. This is Penn Jillette, 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com.
Free FM 1067.
This is Ben Jillette. We get our countdown from New York, and he counts down for about 20 seconds, and he counts all the way down, and he got down to, what, 4?
Yeah, about 2.
And then did an expletive that couldn't be said on the air, followed by, you're on! Pops, they're so much like us. This is a very, very special Penn Jillette show today from Las Vegas. 866-313-3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. I'm usually the nut position, but I think today that I'm not the nut position. There's a full-page ad in the New York Times calling. And did you find out who these guys are?
Yeah, it is New Jersey.
Oh, Frank Lautenberg, the Democrat from New Jersey.
Democrat from New Jersey.
And Ted Stevens from Arkansas, the two senators, and Representatives Lantos from California and Shays from Connecticut want to put in a plan to require local and state governments to develop disaster plans for animals. Now, the first thing that bothers me about this, of course, is that it violates the 10th Amendment. There's no reason why the federal government should be forcing local and state governments to develop disaster plans. That should be left. Whatever is not done by the federal government should be left to the states. But that's not the area we're jumping on. I don't think that pets should be have major rescue operations done for them during natural disasters like Katrina.
You should let Sean Penn go get them.
Sure, let Sean Penn go get them. Let Spicoli go grab them. We have one letter that said, when a natural disaster hits, pets are food. Imagine someone risking his life to save his pet, only to have to turn the pet over to an angry and hungry crowd of refugees to keep from being lynched. And you said you have two dogs that you love, right?
Yes, I do.
And how many ways do you have to prepare them if your children were hungry?
All of them. I have every way to prepare them. Yeah, you got to save your kids or your dogs.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the government
What's
question
here. It's Loopy, honey.
I'm not enough. It's Gracie. Our appetizer is Gracie, followed by our main course of Diesel. We have Diesel as our main course. Here's a nice note. I really want to really address this rather seriously, even though we're monkeying around a bit with this. Use my tax money to save a few pets and leave a few murderers, rapists, and pedophiles behind for the floods to ravish. As a general rule, most animals are nicer than most humans. That's a Gmail from Bill. And I see that bumper sticker that says, you know, the more men I meet, the more I love my cat, and those kinds of things. I really think there's nothing more misanthropic than the idea that something that's bred to suck up to you is actually a more valid being than another sentient human being that thinks and feels and can love you back in a real way, can make choices, and can also do things like discover vaccines and build everything in your miserable life. Everything you use was created by humans. Put you alone on an island with dogs, just you and the dogs. See how quick you have an internet connection and can write an insane email to somebody, okay? Almost everything you use in your life to stay alive, the fact that your lifespan is now, instead of 24, knocking on, what is it, 80? Knocking on 90, probably. Yeah. The fact that your lifespan is there is other human beings who are capable of choosing to love and not animals that were bred without a choice. This is Penn with the non-nut point of view that we should not save pets in natural disasters. Let me tell the truth here for a change. I don't mean you can't save pets in a natural disaster. If you want to pick up your scruffy flea bag dog and carry it with you, but if there's not room on the bus, we're throwing that mutt out and bringing in, I don't care if it's a pedophile crack addict, a human life is always more important than an animal life. You got any more calls you want to take?
Plenty of calls.
Take one.
Let's talk to line one. This is Dave calling. Dave dropped off.
I'm always worried about guys named Dave anyway.
Well, we should go to line nine. This is Joe, but you're going to have trouble with this one, I think.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Penn, how you doing? This is Joe. I love your show, by the way.
Thank you so much, Joe. How you doing?
Okay. Listen, all my life I've heard that animals got this natural instinct for natural disaster, like an ESP. I mean, if they're sensing this stuff, release them, open the door for them, let them go. Let them probably do want to get the heck out of there anyway. I mean, I have a dog, I have a pooch. And when he's older than my kids, actually. But so it came on, that dog is history. And if he's there when I come back, I'll love him to death again. But then.
I do want to say, without getting Randy on the phone, that I don't, the idea that pets can sense natural disasters, animals and stuff, that has been pretty thoroughly debunked, isn't it?
I believe it has.
I believe it has. I don't believe that animals have some sort of ESP, but I believe your point of view is exactly right, Joe. Love your animals to death, have fun with them, but when they are gone, when you have to save yourselves, then come back. What's your dog's name, Joe?
Okay, my dog's name is Cody.
Cody.
My ex-girlfriend named him way back when. She used to watch a soap opera. Don't ask me what. I don't even know. But there was a character that she was in love with, and she named him Cody. Now she's gone. The pooch is still with me, and, you know, I got him. And he's a smart dog. He's a pooch, real, you know, what, like a two-pound dog. But if he starts acting weird or whatever, I'm unleashing him and I'm letting him go because he probably won't come back anyway.
Thank you so much, Joe. Thanks so much for calling. You know, that is, I just hope my wife never says that sentence. If he starts acting weird, I'm just unleashing him and letting him go. I'm so glad the teller over the years has not said, if he starts acting weird, I'm unleashing him and letting him go. Please, Michael Goudeau, when I start acting weird, do not unleash me and let me go. I do not know what is best for me. I don't. Any more than his dog, yeah. Cody.
Can sense storms coming. Yeah. You can't even sense lunch coming. You're dead. If we let you go, you'd fall down. The dogs would kill you and eat you.
It does take an army to keep me alive.
You have a good thing you have a staff.
I have to have staff to stay alive.
Walk that way, Mr. Gillette.
Yes, I do. It's pathetic. It really is. And really, when you talk about the resources they would take to haul my ass up into a helicopter, you could probably save every dog in the greater Delta area. I mean, I just think when there's a flood, let a few dogs go before me. You know, it's the same thing as me being an astronaut. You know, astronauts have to be little. You know, I think save little people first. They are the most compact. They're the most efficient way to have a human being is to have a short human being like Patrick, our board operator. Yeah. Is that one finger up because you're
he's number one.
Number one. Okay. We have another phone call you want to take?
Of course we do. Now let's talk to Keith online too. I think Keith's still there.
Hey, Keith, you still there, man?
Hey, how are you?
Never better, boss. How you doing?
Doing all right. Well, I've got an interesting fact that I'd like to share with you guys. I live within the 10-mile radius of Indian Point. It's a nuclear power reactor in Westchester County, New York.
Uh-huh.
Now, within that 10-mile area radius, they have to put out a whole bunch of safety evacuation pamphlets. And in reading the pamphlet, if there is an unnatural disaster, in other words, if the Indian Point power reactor blows up, something goes wrong,
uh-huh,
there's actually a plan for how to evacuate the pets.
Okay, but you know why that is. The reason that is that nuclear power plants have the worst PR in the world. Everybody, I mean, we should have the whole global warming problem, the whole pollution problem goes away if we're nuclear. So what they have to make sure is, because there's been so much hype against nuclear power, they have to make sure that their PR record is perfect. And since there's not going to be a disaster at a nuclear atomic plant, since it's very, very rare, I mean, look how much of a screw-up you had to be to get Chernobyl to go. 3 Mile Island caused no damage at all. They might as well say they can evacuate all the earthworms because it's just not going to happen. So I think from a PR point of view, that's the smart thing to do there.
Absolutely. I mean, who wants to drink milk from a cow that's been irradiated?
I do. I do.
Daryl.
It'd be pretty safe milk.
We probably already do anyway, because it's
sure
high temperature and homogenized and pasteurized and all of that.
I'm all for all that stuff. I want my food to get as far from natural as possible. As far as I'm concerned, food that is natural is filled with trichinosis and dysentery and everything else. I want tomatoes that are kept in CO2 rooms. I want apples in rooms where no one can breathe. I want crossbreeding. I want Krispy Kremes. I want everything that is completely synthetic food. So I'm all for that. Radiate the damn cows.
If you irradiate the milk, you can store it on your shelf for a year.
Is that, you just made these figures
no,
up?
No, I'm not making these figures up.
But you have to put it in a seal?
Yes, sort of, but not exactly. I don't know the exact date, but I do know that you can sterilize milk to a point where it can be kept in a carton at room temperature.
Mike Goudeau, the science schmo.
Science schmo. Just UHT. Enough information to get myself in trouble.
UHT, it's ultra-high temperature milk.
Yeah.
Huh? Cool,
isn't that, that also works with radiation?
I'm not sure.
Well, we don't have really milk experts here on the phone, do we? to be perfectly fair with you, you did not call as a milk expert. You called with a guy who knew the evacuation plan for a nuclear, 10 miles around a nuclear atomic plant. So thanks an awful lot for your call. Thanks for your call. Yeah, you know.
You think they printed the pamphlets in dog? I mean, I'd like you to read this, Fluffy.
He'll
head north.
Okay, this is Pat Gillette. We'll be back after this. 866-313-FREE. That's 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. 4, 3, 2. Ah, you're on the air!
Washington's 3333 FM 106.7 WJFK.
Yeah, this is Pat Gillette. We're talking about pets. 866-313-FREE 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. Big ad in the New York Times. This isn't news. You know, this is the great thing. We're now talking about ads. There was no news on this at all, but there's a Pets Evacuation and Transportation Standards, which spells SCUBA. It's Act S 2548 by Senator Ted Stevens, who's a Republican from Alaska, and Frank Lautenberg, who's a Democrat from New Jersey, and Representatives Tom Lantos and Chris Shea, who are from California and Connecticut, respectively. And they would require that local and state governments develop disaster plans for animals. Pets are part of the family, and no pet should be left behind, is what they're saying. I'm taking the non-nut point of view and saying that this is a nutty thing to do. I got a few Gmails I want to read here. This is from a cat named Parrot. First of all, I'd like to say that a loving animal companion is quite a bit more important than a computer hard drive, though I do agree that saving humans should be the first priority. My question is, would you be for legislation that would allow animals to be saved that didn't remove any manpower dedicated to rescuing humans? The word there, Parrot, is legislation. I don't think you need legislation. During a time of natural disasters, people help people. So the government does do some help, but as we found out with Katrina, the real help comes from individual human beings and private organizations. The government was supposed to do a lot of that. We paid them to do a lot of that. They couldn't even keep the levees dry. So a lot of it is done by individuals, and I have nothing against people deciding to help animals. I have nothing against that. I'm talking about using the government, using force to make people care about animals. Here's another letter from Stephen. With all due respect, boy, that's a dangerous one. Whenever it starts with all due respect, you know he's about to rip me a new one. With all due respect to the value, he puts that in quotes for some reason, I guess, so the so-called value of human life, the scenarios you speak of, vaccines, internet, etc., are the best case scenarios of human achievement. Most human achievement concerns taking advantage of other humans in one way or another. Man, I couldn't disagree more. If we're going to apply the type of moral judgments you suggest to who gets saved during a disaster, I never suggested that. Fluffy has as much right to that spot on the boat as does Dick Cheney. I'd rather have Fluffy because I would always have to be watching my back in a world that has Dick in it. I just couldn't agree more. I really do feel deep down inside that most people are really good. The vast majority of people are good. The overwhelming majority of people are good. And I use the Penn Jillette car test. If your wife is sick and you're running somewhere where you have to get into an ambulance or something and your car is running out in front of the store, you can go in. Let's say your car isn't running so I can do the example right. It's illegally parked. You can run into a Starbucks. You can take your car keys. You can toss it to someone and say, you see that red car out there. I was going to try to get a brand, but I don't know cars. Red car out there. Could you take it and park it around the corner and just leave the keys at the desk with me so it gets out of the way? I have to take care of my wife. I would say that very few people, almost no one, will steal your car. However, if you let them pick you, if you say, I have my car keys here, who will take it away safely? It's a whole different thing. If you let it be self-selected, people can be fairly bad. But I think people are really good. And that's one of the things that I get in trouble with on everybody. If you believe people are really, really good, you are a libertarian. You are an atheist. Those two things come really simple emotionally. Not about the logic or the facts behind it, but emotionally those two things come very easily because you don't believe you need God for morality and you don't believe you need government to keep people in line. If, however, you believe most people are evil, then you're a Democrat, a Republican, and a religious fanatic because you think everything has to be reward, punishment, and force to get people to do good things. I'm not talking about the reality of those things. I'm just talking about emotionally. It seems to me like the heavy-duty, hardcore, whack-job optimists are the ones that tend to gravitate toward libertarianism and atheism. 866-313-3733. Right now, people are going, you know, oh, man, that Penn, he's talking about pets, and he brings God into it. What a loser. What an obsessive loser. Can't just talk about pets. Yes, I can talk about pets, and my opinion is the majority opinion. I'm not a nut anymore. This is the way everybody feels. I'm a regular guy. I'm a jock. I can climb the ropes. Hey, I'm listening to music in the top 10. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm a cheerleader. Let's go. 866-313-FREE, 3733. Penn Jillette, regular guy.
We have a Gmail. From Lou, from N. He lives in N.
Okay.
He says, what about women and children first? So maybe we should do a list. Women, children, men, big dogs, smaller dogs, rodents, cats.
You put cats behind rodents?
I do, yeah.
You get some calls.
That's an allergy. See, problems.
I grew up with a cat. My mom always had a cat. A cat that loved her and hated everyone else. And probably because of me, but that they hated everyone else. But because my mom always had a cat around, I'm fond of... I have a little bit of a fondness for cats more than others. I don't know. That woman, you know, the time that I was in a plane crash, the time I was in emergency evacuation... the first person off the plane was Penn Jillette. Second person off the plane was Teller. And I was thinking as we hit the ground how coincidental it was that there were no women and children on that flight whatsoever. No, the fact of the matter is, the only disaster I've been in, which was this emergency evacuation of a plane that was full of smoke, we never got off the ground. But we filled with smoke, and they stopped it and put those cool ramps down, you know?
Right.
And they tell you, you know, remain calm. Leave all your personal possessions behind and walk to the nearest exit as quickly and safely as possible. I did that. I did that entirely, right way through. Everybody else on the plane was screaming. Some people were praying. They were praying in a room full of smoke. I guess they thought they'd elected a new pope or something. There was smoke, and they thought that. And, so I just moved. I didn't touch my luggage. I moved carefully toward the exit. Teller, of course, had all our luggage. He was carrying it all.
Kicked off your high-heeled shoes before you went down the slide.
Kicked off my high-heeled sneakers, and I went right down the slide. And I tell you, we were the first two off, and then it was probably a full 45 seconds before there was another person coming down. And the other people that came down the slide, this is astonishing. They came down the slide, they would hit the bottom, they would stop dead and turn around and look toward the plane. One, so if it blew up, it would go right into their face. And two, so the next person coming down the slide would kneecap them and knock them over. Taylor and I came down the slide and walked straight ahead as fast as we could toward as far away from the plane as we could get, right over to a CNN crew who said, did you guys do this as a trick? That was actually true. And the other time I was in a plane crash, the stewardess went, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to call them stewardesses. You call them peanut-chucking sky whores. No, that's Otto and George that say that. I didn't mean that at all. You call them flight attendants.
You were doing so well with the pet thing.
I was doing so well. The flight attendant started freaking out and gave me the manual. Okay? She woke me up. She took my headphones off. I had headphones on. I was listening to music. Took the headphones off and said, we're going to do an emergency crash landing. And I said, cool. Okay? And I was in first class because I fly with pigs. And I'm in first class. And she starts really going nuts. And I go, well, you've never been in a disaster before? She says, no. So she gives me the book on evacuation. And then a flight attendant from the back who comes up, and he comes up from where he was sitting in coach and comes up to first class to help. And he and I start reading the book together. And I said to him, "So you're a flight attendant?" He said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "Are you gay?" And he said, "Yes, I am." And I said, "That's good, because I'm going to have sex with the nearest person to me right before we crash. And it's nice to have a better chance with you." And I told him that being the bigger guy, I would rip the, you have to throw the door off,
right.
And he would do the whole thing. And then it was really cool. You know, I sat down. And next to this flight attendant that I just met from, he wasn't the same class as me. He was sitting in coach, but we sat side by side.
You are the airbag for the people in coach.
I am, yes, exactly. And it was really a cool thing, because I sat next to this stranger. We were now dating, and I put my seatbelt on so tight that it like hurt my kidneys. I took off all my jewelry, put my glasses in a place where I thought I could find them quickly afterwards, but they wouldn't be on my face. You know, I took everything that could hurt me. I emptied the front seat pocket and put in another seat pocket, and then just like bent over and put my head between my knees, and then thought about, you know, this could be my last minutes on Earth next to this really cool gay flight attendant. And and you know, we'll probably, right before the plane hits, we'll probably only have time to kiss, but it'll be very cool. Very cool. And it turned out it was totally false alarm. We landed rather safely in a Texas airport in the middle of the night with no flight crew, no nothing. The airport was closed, but we landed and we went out. We had to stay there all night. But the cool thing was, I hacked into the ticket computer and got everybody to be able to get their email. So I was the big hero. I didn't get to rip the door off and do the whole thing, but
you
I
didn't
get to, be
get
the
to kiss the flight attendant either.
I didn't really kiss him, no. He thought
didn't
I was,
get the chance.
He thought I was kidding about having sex with him. And once he acted like I was kidding, I then convinced myself that I was. But at the time I said it, I don't think I was. We have time for one more call. Let's take another call.
You want to take another call?
Sure.
Let's talk to Dave on line 5.
Hey, Dave, I'm not
there,
thrilled
Dave?
With your name, but I'm happy to talk to you. What's that?
We just dropped.
Yeah, I guess that was too much with the flight attendant story.
We could do it. Yeah, we talked to Frank on line 9.
Hey, Frank, how you doing, man?
Hey, good to hear you guys. Nice show.
Thanks a lot, man.
What's up? Hello.
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, Penn Teller?
Yeah, well, this is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau, yeah.
Okay. Basically, I make, you know, when it comes to, like, what do we call animals? What do we call, you know, dogs, cats, they're domestic pets, right?
Uh-huh.
Last time I checked, they're called domestic pets.
Sure.
You know, if we're going to be in a disaster, if something's going to happen to your house, okay, anything in it, I think, qualifies, especially a domestic pet. I mean, it stays behind. I've got two dogs, I've got a rabbit, my daughter loves the rabbit, et cetera, but God forbid something happens, natural, our taxpayer dollars are going to go into, like, you know, people's domestic pets. It makes no sense to me.
I couldn't agree with you more, because I'm a regular guy. I agree with everybody on everything. Thanks so much for calling, man. You want to take? We got time for one more call if you want to squeeze one in.
You want to try another one? All right, let's try. Do we lose Dave in line 5? Yeah, that's the one we tried earlier, isn't it? Let's try line 4. Is Kristen still there?
Kristen?
Hello?
Who's this? Okay, who's this?
Mark.
Hey, Mark, what's up, man?
Not much, man. I want to talk to Penn.
You got Penn, huh? Penn's right here talking to you.
Oh, there you are. You know what? I got a problem with, you know, you wanting to say pedophiles and, you know, freaking child molesters. Other than that, you know, I love my dog. I got a 120-pound dog named Teller because he don't speak to me. You guys have been watching, listening. Your show, Bull, is
yeah, Bulls. Well, thank you so much for calling, Mark. Thank you so much. He's got a 120-pound dog named Teller because he don't talk to him. That's a cool thing. So this is, you know, Pendulette. My whole life, you know, I've been kind of an outsider with the nut position, and this kind of felt good. I may start working for Fox News or something. It's kind of good to have the opinion that everyone has. We'll see you on Monday, I suppose. We won't actually see you. We'll be on the radio on Monday. And in the meantime, take care of each other. Take care of your pets. Take care of everybody, okay? And if there's a natural disaster, I'll be up there in the helicopter looking down saying, save him, leave Fluffy, leave Diesel, leave Gracie. Leave them all to drown. We don't need legislation on that. Hey, let's work for peace.
3FM, WJFK. We're on the web at 106.7 3FM.com.